Let's begin with some news from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. A disproportionately high number of black students have been removed from local schools. The Georgia Network for Educational and Therapeutic Support is where so-called troubled kids are sent for rehabilitation and treatment. It's a collective of schools. It's already come under fire for segregation of disabled students. But the racial component to the story was recently uncovered by reporter Alan Judd. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning.
And also with us is Leslie Lipson. She's an attorney with the Georgia Advocacy Office. Hi, Leslie.
Good morning.
Alan, what made you look at the racial demographics of these students?
Last year, the U.S. Department of Justice sent a letter to the governor and the attorney general saying that they believed that by putting some disabled students in these GNET schools, also known as the psychoeducational schools, that was violating their rights, that they were illegally segregating them there. And it made me wonder, what are the demographics of these kids? Are these, you know, kids who, does it represent what the overall enrollment of Georgia looks like? And after a good bit of research, it turns out it does not. It's about 54% of the kids in this program are African-American compared to only 37% who are African-American in the entire enrollment.
Okay, so 54% of them are African-American. You also found that African-American boys are particularly likely to be sent to these schools.
Right. 80% of the boys who are sent there are African-American. Most of them have a diagnosis that's called emotional and behavioral disorder, which is not really a recognized disorder by psychiatrist or psychologist. It's sort of a catch-all for kids
who
don't behave the way we want them to.
Leslie, this is a not a program that other states really have, right? What is the legality of this kind of segregation of students from the get-go?
Well, I think what's particularly problematic about Georgia's, and we have to say that segregation exists all over our nation
Yes.
in enormous ways, and it's highly problematic. But Georgia sponsors a statewide network, and these actually aren't schools, which is one of the reasons the data is so very hard to get. They're programs, and it's a total air quote program, and they don't have the typical data and transparency. The financial system is different than how we fund schools, and it really incentivizes schools to not provide community-based services and because the services are only funded at these programs that are apart and away from people's neighborhood and community.
We did reach out to the Georgia Department of Education for comment on this investigation as of 9 o'clock this morning, 11 minutes ago, and we have yet to receive a statement in response to this report. Now, I want to play a comment from reporter Marian Wang. We spoke to her earlier about this, and she's here talking about the substandard learning conditions in these schools.
Well, so according to the DOJ report, they were finding that particularly at the middle school and high school level, you had these kids sort of sitting in front of computers doing computer-based instruction. So they didn't even have any teachers in some of these classrooms. You know, at the lower level, there were a lot of teachers who aren't certified to teach in the subjects that they're teaching.
Alan, what are these kids, what kind of curriculum are they going through? I mean, I take it they're removed from their regular school, so they don't have the regular curriculum anymore.
Right. And in many of these schools, many of these buildings, they don't have science labs or even libraries.
Wait, it's telling that you just changed the description
yeah.
school to building.
Well, technically, it's not a school. It's a under the law, it's a place where education is delivered, but that is not a school, which is kind of a crazy way of saying school. But I talked to one parent in Atlanta whose child went to the GNETS program for the south part of Metro Atlanta, and he spent every day basically watching movies and playing computer games.
Do they have to take the tests, the state and federal tests?
They have to take the tests, but all those scores go back to their home school, so they are almost impossible to track. No one really knows how these kids are doing.
Okay. I want to read a line from your piece, which just stopped me in my tracks. You write this: black children form the majority at programs where teachers restrain children with dog leashes, where psychologists performed behavioral experiments on troubled students, and where chronically disruptive students spent time in solitary confinement, locked in rooms with bars over the windows. In one such room, euphemistically called a timeout area, a 14-year-old boy hanged himself. We actually spoke with the mother of a kid who'd been spent to one of these not schools. Last September, her 5-year-old son was sent to a therapeutic building.
I've watched my kid go from a normal kid to a human being that's depressed. He cries every day to go to school. When we pull up in the school, he tells me he hates this place. Why does he have to go? He refers to it often as a jail or the people hate him. He's stupid. He's weird. My son was full of life before I moved to Georgia and put him in the school system here. And now I literally sit and watch my son tear himself apart every day.
I don't understand, Leslie, if we as a nation are required to provide education to all students, how we can send them to a not school. How is that legal?
So it's not. The letter that Alan referred to earlier
from
in the conversation
from the Department
of Justice found that it's a violation of the Americans with Disabilities Act. And it's from a civil rights perspective, it's really groundbreaking, because typically we look at one law called the IDEA, which is about individualized education for kids. But this, the way they're framing this law, it takes it up a level and says, how is our state providing opportunities for kids in schools? And the way our state says it is, if you want to supposedly receive any services for kids who have emotional behavior disorders, and notice the word supposedly, you will supposedly get therapy and education and great quality mental health supports and GNETs. What we know to be is that is absolutely not true.
If you're just joining us, my guests are AJC reporter Alan Judd and attorney Leslie Lipson. We're talking about a network of Georgia schools that deal with disabled and unruly children. And again, we did reach out to the Georgia Department of Education. We did not get a response as of this moment. But I want to go back to this label of disabled, because Alan was claiming, described that this is not an actual medical label. Can somebody just slap this on someone without a doctor stepping in?
No, let me be clear. And I think we do agree on this, is that there are many kids who do have very real and significant disabilities. This emotional behavior disorder label comes from the federal government and funding and how they structure the law. But many of the kids would have a significant mental illness or maybe an attention issue, or some of them have learning disabilities, and a fair amount of children experience autism.
Let's hear again from Marion Wang. She is a journalist with ProPublica. They've looked into this pretty significantly as well. We spoke with her last year about how schools might change the way they evaluate kids with possible disabilities.
If these mainstream sort of neighborhood schools were less quick to sort of shuttle the kid out of there after one incident or a couple incidents, a lot of these kids could be provided the right support in their neighborhood school setting, in an integrated setting, with just more support and with more flexibility, with teachers sort of understanding that inclusion is a value that we have.
Alan, what kind of response have you gotten from the Department of Education based on the racial component that you discovered?
They actually don't look at that. They did not know that. They said that they actually
look... They didn't know that their disproportionate number of black boys were being sent?
No. They look at the number of children who are declared eligible to receive special education services. And if that's not disproportionate, they don't go beyond that to look at sort of the output of that determination.
But it is.
What were you saying, Leslie?
But, I mean, nationally, disproportionality is a enormous issue within special education, that that black children are disproportionately identified as having a developmental disability and under-identified as having a learning disability, over-identified as having emotional behavior disorders, and under-identified as having certain attention problems. So we know that nationally this is an issue across every setting.
Sure.
When you get a segregated setting with horrible services and really bad outcomes, you have got to know, especially in the South, that it is going to be disproportionate.
Alan, what happens next? How does this move forward, especially with the DOJ involvement?
The state is negotiating with the DOJ, presumably to come to some sort of agreement that would be enforced by a court order. The DOJ was looking initially, at least, to actually close these programs.
All of them.
All of them, and move kids back into their regular schools where they could be somewhat more mainstream. Even though some, as Leslie mentioned earlier, do require special services, special classes, classes that are geared specifically to their needs and receiving therapy and other services. that they're not even receiving in these special programs.
And we only have about 30 seconds left, Leslie, but do parents have an option here? We heard from that mother who said her kid is tearing themselves apart once they've been segregated.
Not only do parents not have great options, but neither do local schools.
That is Leslie Lipson. She's an attorney for the Georgia Advocacy Office. Alan Judd joined us as well, investigative reporter for the AJC. You can read the first of a three-part series on this topic. It'll be in this Sunday's edition of the AJC. Thanks so much to both of you.
Thank you.